On our legislative tuned-in program, State Senator Jesse Green joins us. Good to have you.
Hey, back. Happy Welcome. New Year. Good to be with you, too.
Back. Well, we talked before the session started, and then look at what happened with the snow. You guys go to work, and here comes the snow.
You know, it seems like every year there's 2 weeks where winter definitely shows, flexes muscles a little bit, and we're in that two-week period now. So
I did have to kind of laugh a little with all the snow that fell, and the governor goes, probably not going to have too many people here for her condition of the state. I saw there were a few empty seats there, but she still had a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, it wasn't the most full, but it was probably 90% full. So. Yeah.
And then we had condition of the judiciary and then condition of the guard. And I know most of that first week, last week would have been what, putting together committees, getting things organized. And did we start any kind of activity that was going on?
Well, every committee got together just to formally introduce everybody once again. I didn't call my committee together. I mean, it's the same people as last year. We're just older and uglier. So I didn't bring anybody together for introductions. But I think next week I'm going to bring my local government committee together. We have about 8 bills that are ready to go out of that committee. The biggest ones that I'm preparing for out of that is in regards to library boards, giving local governments the option to make them into advisory boards rather than kind of autonomous entities that are in control of everything in their power. So it just gives local governments that option. That'll be an interesting bill. Another one gearing up for next week is for, you might have heard on the news about banning local governments from regulating mental health therapies. And a lot of people are upset because there's a few communities that have banned conversion therapy, which is very controversial. But there's nothing about conversion therapy within this bill. It's just a lot of legislators have caught wind of some of these unhealthy conversations that are being had on the local level. That, for one, I believe is unconstitutional to begin with, and secondly, let's just save the attorney fees from people suing local governments over that issue. Yeah. So I'm going to run that through local government.
So we'll see that. Those just some. I know you had talked about possibly one or two that you were looking at, whether they're going to be the first ones up or early up, but you have time to put them together.
Well, so me personally, with it being the second session of the assembly, I kind of feel the time crunch here, and I want to get them out as soon as possible. And if they do need touched up a little bit, maybe I'll touch them up before they hit the floor or even when they go over to the House. But I think every week that goes by without action is a week that's wasted, and it's in this particular session.
Yeah, because we think this one, you're pretty sure this one's going to move along fairly quickly.
I really think so. I think people already hit the campaign trail, but a lot of the big issues I thought were done, but then this year it started off with AEA's conversations. We can talk about that, and then you know, obviously with me with the Perry school shooting, that really threw a wrench into my first week at the Capitol. I was in and out quite a bit due to that.
It just happens to be, by the way, folks, yes, it is part of his district.
Yeah, Perry's a new part of my district, so I've been fielding calls about that, talking to deputy sheriffs about how to respond to that, and I'm available to talk about that if you want.
Well, we'll touch on that. That happened right, you know, just as the session was getting ready to get started. Obviously, it just kind of threw up a big cloud into the beginning of the session. So.
Yeah, it was just a few days before session started, and I've never been through anything like that. That was definitely the darkest time of my legislative time at the Capitol. Never gone through that before, and so still we're trying to gather the facts on the ground, but I have had some very interesting conversations with the deputy sheriffs that were there on the scene when that happened, and I've been getting their advice as to what they think needs to be done to change code or to help beef up security in schools. I've heard a lot of deputy sheriffs that want a single point of entry with metal detectors. That would be a little controversial, but so we're going to have that conversation at the Capitol, or I'll at least bring it forward to have that conversation. School resource officers, it sounds like the House, that's going to be their number one response coming out of this, is to provide grant money so that every school building can have a school resource officer. That's going to have a big price tag, but I think that's there's quite a bit of consensus around that would be appropriate to do.
Mm-hmm.
of course, mental health. We've done a lot of things on mental health the last few years. I've got a list of about 22 bills that we have passed with bipartisan support to try to address children's mental health in schools. And honestly, on that front, I think there's maybe some more that we can do as far as occupational sharing between schools that have mental health counselors. For example, Boone has one and Jefferson has one of their own mental health counselors, but smaller schools like Ogden and Madrid don't. And so maybe there's a way that the state can help incentivize sharing those resources mm-hmm. with smaller schools. And mm-hmm. so
yeah, there's a number of different things. So response-wise, a lot of people always turn to response, especially after then we get the Attorney General's report this week on Uvalde. But the response, I'm thinking the reaction you get from most people was they did as well as they could.
They did. The authorities showed up about 7 minutes after the incident started. From my perspective, we need to fill the gap of that 7 minutes. Law enforcement did everything that they could. One thing that's unique about Dallas County and Perry District is the communications and the radio. I sit on the ISICS board, which... and as far as communications, mm-hmm. no school has the communication infrastructure that Perry does have. And so that really helped with their response time as well. And I don't think we can do any better from a response standpoint than that. But of course, that conversation is going to be had, how to fill up that 7 minutes with a better response time. Of course, school resource officer is there. But of course, there's some within our caucus that want to have a training program for teachers that are within the schools to go through a program if they feel comfortable to carry a handgun or put it in their desk or whatever, safely secure it within the school, but then also increase their salary as a result of that to incentivize and thank them for their service. A lot of things
coming up on this. There's still going to be plenty of discussion points.
There's really only so many more things that we can do, but those conversations will take place. But as far as gun control, there's no law that would have stopped what happened. It was just a very sad situation.
So it was. Some of the other things that happened. Let's talk a little bit this week. You didn't have to go to work on Monday. I don't know if you did or not, but you caucused. I mean, that was the big thing. Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and again, the legislature was off, and it just happened to be our caucus day.
Yeah, and that was my first caucus here in Boone and during a presidential cycle. I was very impressed with the volunteers and the committee. Hats off to Gary Nystrom for the work that he did putting that together. Everything went so smooth. And deepen my appreciation for caucuses. The difference between a caucus and a primary is a caucus is in person, and some people are like, "Well, why don't we have a primary?" And that's a fair question to have. But going through this once again, having everybody in person, it reminds me that it's good to see people face to face and have these conversations. It was fun to speak on behalf of Ron DeSantis in that room and share my thoughts as to why I support him. I think that's a little more special than just mailing in a ballot in the mailbox.
Just tell them we do have a primary. It's in June, and don't forget to go vote then.
Yeah,
but that's it. But yeah, the one part always about the caucus, and the caucus is more than just, again, it obviously the presidential draw is the big thing, but it builds your base. I mean, your county committees, who's going to be going to county convention, things like that. So,
well, yeah,
there's
it takes work, and it takes county committees to coalesce and be responsible for these events. And I think that's one reason why the Republicans are still first in the nation caucus. There's just a great groundswell of support within our base, of people that really care about our process. And that really showed the other night. I was really impressed with how many volunteers there were.
Well, after the governor's condition of the state address, and she did talk about AEAs, and then this week, as this week went on, she was getting a lot of input from a lot of different people, and she kind of adjusted. Not that she doesn't think they need to be, someone needs to take a look. Nobody's really looked at them for 50 years, but she's kind of made a little adjustment in what she's looking for here.
Certainly. I've never received so many emails as I have on AEA's. I think there's 3,400 employees, and I'm pretty sure 3,400 employees emailed me this past week. So I've definitely heard the different opinions on this. But you're right that it's been a long time since we've reformed anything within AEA's. And so some people will ask, well, why tinker with it if it's not broke? And the reality is that we spend, from the numbers that I've seen, roughly about $5,000 more than any other state that surrounds us when it comes to special education services. But yet, 9 out of 12 NAEP scores, we rank in the bottom 20. And so to me, anybody that is objectively looking at these numbers, that it should ring an alarm bell as to something is not right here. Something needs to be done. And I'm really proud of the governor that she, once again, is stepping up to the plate to try to tackle this sensitive issue. Again, everybody around this issue needs to be focused on the child first and the student first. Nobody here wants any services to go away that are needed for these kids. But I think a lot of people are seeing some administrative bloat within the system. I think that's one thing that we're going to tackle with this. But it was just yesterday that the governor came out with an amendment. We've heard the people loud and clear, some of the anger that was behind the proposed legislation. And so she gave us an amendment just yesterday for us to consider as we navigate the process. Mm-hmm. And people need to remember that we've yet to have a subcommittee in the Senate. I don't think they've had a subcommittee in the House yet. There's many steps that need to take place before that bill becomes law. But number one thing that I think we agree on is that instead of allowing those dollars just to pass through the schools directly to the AEAs, and then the schools go to the AEAs for those services, we're going to have the school boards be in charge of that money and then have that conversation with the AEAs. Okay, what services do you provide at what cost? And try to create more accountability and transparency within that transaction. There's some things that the schools are getting double charged for, especially within the media services that the AEAs provide. And a lot of people don't realize that. And at the end of the day, these little things add up that I believe...
could be dollars for children, yes, like kids.
And exactly.
We know there's some of them...
One thing in 2011 I'd like to remind people is that there was a study that was done on AEAs, and there was a report that came out. And one of the things that the report said is that they believe that we had too many AEAs. Right now we have 9 regions, and in that report they thought that we should go down to 5. And so nothing was done after that report. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are saying, why not sit back and do another study? And it's like, no, we've done the studies. Nobody's acted, and that's what we're trying to do.
So we'll see how it goes, because, once you get started, things will change. Members go back and forth. The Senate will have some different thoughts on it. The House will have different thoughts on what they're doing.
So. Well, one unique thing about our caucus is within the Senate caucus, we have a school superintendent that's on the Education Committee, and that's Lynn Evans from Northwest Iowa. He's very knowledgeable in that area. And then the House, one of the main players that you have is Brent Segris. He used to be an AEA director from Council Bluffs. So we have lots of knowledge that's within the caucus that's going to shape that bill accordingly.
And I know that you look at this all the time as well, too. Rural districts compared to urban districts. What are their needs a little different, and the services that they can get? Because, like one of the big issues you said, in the area of mental health, being able to have their own mental health person on staff.
And that was one thing that the Perry situation brought up. There was mental health services that the AEA provided to the students during that time, and I am grateful for those services, but we also got to remember there's other places for those services as well. Yep. And at the end of the day, we all want those services to be available to the child.
Okay. We'll see what happens on the AEA issue. What other things were coming up this week? I know we had the usual property taxes, tax. Are we going to go more for the flat tax? Are we going to make some changes on there? I know there's at least leadership was talking about some of that.
Yeah, the governor laid out in the condition of the state speech that she wants to, if I remember right, go to 2.6 or... If I remember, it seems like a lifetime ago. But at the end of the day, what she wants to do is she wants to speed up the flat tax and be able to take a little bit a bigger bite out of this than than what we previously anticipated. And I believe it's this week that we'll see the tax bill drop. And when it comes to property taxes, I don't see too much of a conversation happening this year in regards to that. What I've been hearing from the ground is let's let the local governments work through their budgets for 1 year and realize that the sky is not falling and that the world will still go around. Any change is tough, and so let's before we change too much. I do sympathize. I don't mean that mockingly or anything, but
let's go through it and see, we have changed a lot.
I'm ready to have a different conversation, and let's focus on income taxes. That's one thing. It's a lot simpler conversation to have, and I think immediately would do probably the most good.
Elimination of income tax. I know that you're not the only one. There are several others have some reservations about going there very too quickly.
Yeah, I don't see. I think a healthy conversation is taking place on what realistically can happen with that. We still get more than half of our revenues from income tax, and so to say that we can eliminate the income tax within 5 years or so, I think is just a wishful thinking at best. And so now, if we want to have the conversation about raising the sales tax by a penny or two, and then I think then you can start thinking about that 5 year time frame of eliminating the income tax. But of course, that'd be a very hard, sensitive conversation to have about raising the sales tax. But I'm open to that conversation. But I just see the value of being a no income tax state and being able to advertise that to neighboring states. We're already seeing some of the impacts of that in areas like Davenport, Mason City, some of the people that are moving across the border to be in a better tax climate. So we're definitely moving in the right direction, and that's at the end of the day, that's all I care about. As far as the speed, let's be responsible with it, and yeah.
Some other things that that they've been talking about, at least on the Senate side, that you guys have been looking at.
So, like I said, we're just starting. Next week will be my first committee where we actually move some bills. I anticipate that that's going to be the same case as well in other committees. In education, for example, I'm new on the education committee. I ran my first bill last week, being a member of that committee, just to make vaccination exemptions visible on school registration forms and stuff like that, so that parents know that they do have options when it comes to vaccinations. Pretty simple, should be non-controversial bill, I would think, but because it's already established law, it's just making it so it's known to parents. But next couple weeks, you're going to start getting some committee action, and yeah, really looking forward to that.
I was going to say next week is National School Choice Week. I know with the movement that was done here with the new bill that allows the private schools.
Yeah, Education Savings Accounts. Yeah,
Education Savings.
So no, I'm excited. Usually, Trinity Lutheran and Sacred Heart kiddos will come down, and it's always fun to see them. And we have something to celebrate this year. So
let's not have zero below wind chill when come to visit and stuff. That is another thing too. You do get opportunities for people to come down and take a tour. Should they contact you beforehand? What's the best way to go about that?
Well, always a phone call is the best way. My cell phone number is 515-351-9761, and throw me a text and just let me know that you're coming. And most 9 times out of 10, I'll be able to make something work. And I really enjoy those visits. It really breaks up the day a little bit. And there's nothing better than a face-to-face conversation and see what's on your mind.
Get down early enough, and we'll corner Phil, and you can wish him well.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. Jesse Green, State Senator, our guest on our program today. I want to thank you for taking time to come through all the weather and everything and get a chance here to give us a little update on what's going on. I know there's a lot of other things that you continue to work on related to things that will be coming up during the session. I'm pretty sure we've always got some. I'm pretty sure someone's going to say something to you about bird flu again and things like that as well. So
yeah, different things pop up, and if something randomly pops up and you want to talk about it, just let me know. I definitely want to inform the listeners as to what's happening. The AA conversation is very sensitive, and we need to keep giving updates on that.
All righty, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.